repeat your fancy quote?
Sure, I can, because I think it's important to recognize that gratitude is an attitude.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Why did you say that?
Well, because I think it's something that can be developed, even in the midst of our cultural circumstances at times. I think, you know, there is, I guess what I come back to is, regardless of social media, news outlets, you know, friends, family, I think there is a dynamic that makes it difficult at times to remain grateful or thankful. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
And I think that is a choice. That, you know, in the midst of our circumstances where, you know, what's going wrong tends to be what is focused on at times, you know, social media, yeah, that kind of thing. And I think, you know, there is that aspect of how do we offset that in our personal lives in such a way? Cause, I guess I just see a lot of, in what I do, I just see a lot of the anxiety, mm-hmm, that comes with the fear, you know. And I'm not saying those people or people who struggle with anxiety have an attitude problem. Mm. I'm not going there. And yet I can also recognize how when individuals make a practice or have a discipline of gratitude, it does kind of transform the way I view my life. There's a lot of research I didn't necessarily bring, but there's a lot of research, yeah, you know, connected to, you know, neuroplasticity and, mm-hmm, you know, and gratitude and those kind of things. And I think that can become a transformative attitude that we have. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you mentioned science, and there's a science podcast I like to listen to sometimes called the Huberman Labs. Mm. I think I've referenced it before, but he actually talked about this once. He calls it a gratitude practice.
Okay.
And he talked about, he's a professor. He's super smart. I'm not going to, yeah, list his credentials because I don't remember what they are, but they're pretty significant. And he, you know, he kind of does these deep dive episodes on different aspects of our health.
Okay.
And so he did one on gratitude, and he called it having a gratitude practice is significantly impactful to your health and your mental health. And he talked about all the different ways, basically the chemicals and all these things.
Sure.
That are happening, the neuroplasticity that you mentioned, all these things. And so we can link to that in the show notes. But the point is, there is science to prove that gratitude is healthy.
Sure.
You know, and so many aspects of our health, not just our physical health, but our mental health as well. Mm. And almost any practice of recovering, right? Mm. Whether it's recovery, like from addiction, or recovery in terms of counseling, recovery, sure, from trauma or whatever, involves some sort of gratitude practice, some, sure, sort of listing good and focusing on good, right?
Yeah.
In my experience, do you feel that way too?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we have to, and I think it's important to clarify, is gratitude isn't just a Pollyanna type thing, positive, you know, thinking dynamic. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yeah.
That ignores all the bad.
Right.
And it, you know, it's in spite of all that is negative or unhealthy, I can see that there's also good. And, you know, and I recognize, you know, it's not necessarily always, you know, in people, you know, and recognizing that God is good, mm-hmm, you know, in that process. And yet in the midst of this difficult circumstances, there are these silver linings, if you will, you know, behind the gray clouds, mm-hmm, that we can tend to be able to see if we want to look for them. And I think, you know, for me, I think it becomes a dynamic that I see routinely, even in, you know, relationship or marital relationship, of how difficult it becomes to overcome negative interactions. You know, once we've developed a blame cycle, or, you know, once we're into this aspect of defensiveness, it's very difficult to shift that in such a way. Well, even here again, statistically, you know, it takes 5 to 10 positive interactions. John Gottman in his research, you know, there's different people. It's anywhere between 5 to 15, but usually I'll use 5 to 10. 5 to 10 positive interactions to offset one negative or one complaint. And when I think about that, I think about, you know, in our conflicted relationships, how often has it shifted to the opposite? Mm-hmm. We focus on, well, if you do this, if you do this, if you did this, well, why didn't you do that? And it's like, oh, you did that? Well, I kind of noticed, but you should have been doing that anyways. You follow me? Yeah. We have this tendency to offset. Now, we have a tendency to get it reversed is what we do.
Yeah.
And we think we're going to improve something by focusing on the negative characteristics of it.
Mm.
And I think that's where gratitude comes into play.
Yeah, that's good.
When we're able to shift that in such a way that says, oh, wow, you mowed the lawn today. Thanks. I just noticed when I came in. Or, you know, hey, thanks for doing the dishes. Or, you know, hey, it was a good day. It was a long day, but yet there was a lot of good work that was done today, even in the length of it. I may be tired, but the tiredness was a aspect of blessing because of a good day of productivity or of sorts for, depending on, you know, what you do for your living, I guess is where I'm coming from. Yeah.
So that's one aspect of practicing gratitude, is doing the mental work, sometimes mental gymnastics, to figure out the good of the situation you're looking at,
sure,
and saying kind of the redemptive qualities and speaking to the redemptive qualities of what
your shoulder need a little redeeming this morning.
Yeah. I'm not going to complain about my shoulder. I'm going to talk about the goodness that is playing Frisbee.
The ability, the health you have to run and throw and be and even feel a little stiff the next morning. Your body is working well.
See that? That was masterful. That's how you do it.
But it's interesting as I'm thinking about this in the, you know, because I guess I just see it so much. It's that dynamic of, you know, a couple comes in and, you know, they're really focused on all the problems that their relationship has, you know, and what you don't do and our finances and, you know, and our, you know, our sex life and your in-laws and, you know, or my in-laws, however you want to say it, you know, that kind of thing. And it's become negatively focused. And it's interesting when you create a shift and you can just observe it. You know, it's visible, tangible, even almost, you know, when you say, okay, well, if this is the situation, you know, what attracted you to this person in the beginning? Oh, well, you know, they were caring, they were kind, and, you know, and they really, you know, seem to want to know where I am. I says, well, is that person still there? Well, yeah, they're still the same person. And, you know, and it's like this switch occurs. It's like, oh, yeah, I've gotten to this point where I just focus on what's wrong with our relationship or what's wrong with you, you know. And when I can recognize that I have a role in that, you know, if I'm focusing on what's wrong with you, you're likely to focus on what's wrong with you as well. Oh, and definitely in a defensive mode, you're going to start focusing on what's wrong with me. Oh, but you do. I do, we don't even get to that point of saying, well, yeah, I did that, but you do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can be a cycle as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that ability to reflect on the fact that, okay, yes, this is a stage, this is a cycle. And yes, our kids, you know, are in this adolescent era, and there's division between us that at times makes it difficult to be united. And yet when we can recognize, okay, yeah, you're still the same person. I like being on your team. What can we do? What are the thoughts that you have to contribute, you know, as far as, you know, problem solving, brainstorming, and valuing our, you know, partner's influence or other people's influence in a way that isn't dismissive, but that basically says, okay, wow, I hadn't thought about it that way before. And I think gratitude is that ability. It's the ability to say, okay, I don't know it all. And yet there's good to be seen or heard in what you're contributing. And there's good to be valued in your perspective, your influence. And that it translates beyond marital relationship. It translates to, you know, those things that create polarity between us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being able to say, okay, yeah, that's a way I haven't seen it before. And I think gratitude is a way sometimes that we need to be able to see things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I guess one question I would have for you is what do you do when you're stuck, right? And I can even speak from personal experience where mm-hmm. there's sometimes a relationship gets to the point where it's like Popeye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can stands what I can stands and I can't stands it no right. more, whatever that phrase is, right? And it's
I am who I am. Yeah. Yes, and I'm stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this idea that you get to a point where, all right, now I'm going to eat my spinach and we're mm-hmm. going to war or whatever. And mm-hmm. it's because stuff built up long enough and it's time to do something. It's like, but there still needs to be gratitude there. Mm-hmm. But it tends to be set on a shelf because mm-hmm. now it's time for war or whatever. And again, speaking from personal experience, I think it's sometimes hard to shift gears or do the mental gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
To be grateful. But I guess my question would be, how do you see that? You know, how do you?
And I think that's kind of coming back to the gratitude as an attitude type thing. And I, from my perspective, I equate it to, I'd equate it to turning the Titanic. Okay. Because I can see what's in front of me and I don't like it. There's an iceberg there. And, you know, and I'm willing to do the work even at times, but I'm turning and I'm turning and I'm turning and it doesn't seem to change anything. You follow me? The change is so slow that it's like, I'm just going to hit the iceberg anyways, because.
So you're saying we should go rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic?
No, but I am saying when it seems slow, don't give up. Don't become frustrated that I'm doing this and it doesn't work, because it's going to be something that comes with time. It's not, I mean, and granted, yes, for people who are stuck, I would even recommend, you know, like even a gratitude journal, you know, where I take a certain amount of time, whether it's the end of my day, the beginning of my day, and I'm writing 3 to 5 things down that I'm thankful for mm-hmm. about my day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, is that going to change tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
right now? Likely not.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, as I continue to write things down, and I believe writing them down is an important thing because it kind of ingrains them in my mind, in my thoughts, and I'm able to see it as well.
Yeah.
So when I'm writing it down, when I'm looking at it on paper, I'm able to see that in the process of my day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful for another day. I'm thankful for the sunrise this morning. It was, you know, that kind of thing. And so then tomorrow morning when the sunrise comes, there's still an aspect of gratitude that's residual from writing it down from today. You follow me? And I think that's, there isn't a quick fix band-aid.
No magic bullets.
No magic wands, no magic bullets. And that, and I think that's where, the, you know, it is an attitude that is developed. Yeah, that's the word I want to use, but, you know, nurtured, that kind of thing over time. It's not something you're just going to choose to do. It's like anything, you have to learn to do in some ways.
Yeah.
And it has to be something that I learn as a process of time, and I have to continue in that learning even when I reach a point. You know, it's like when that pressure goes away, when that circumstance changes, okay, I'm good now. You know, we can, as humans, we can do that. It's like, okay, I don't need to do that anymore because that pressure went away. No, now's the time when we can really practice
And maybe the pressure went away because you were practicing that, and that's how you keep the pressure away. It's like, well, I changed the oil and the car's running fine, so I guess I don't need to change the oil anymore.
Right? Exactly.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking too, like you mentioned 5 to 10 positive things that counteract the negative. And so even applying that gratitude practice to the specific relationship or situation, you know, intentionally thinking of 5 good things about that situation. Let's say you're unhappy at work, for instance, but you're not quite sure where to, you know, what to do about it or move on or what. You just know you're disgruntled.
Yeah.
But taking the time and the effort to think, you know, do that gratitude practice, journaling, writing it down, 5 good things a day or whatever to combat however number of bad things that you encountered. So that, because even in that case, like in the case of this actually is bad and needs to be dealt with, like, you know, my manager's not treating me well or whatever the situation, if you go into that room or that situation in conflict, like we talked about, you've balanced these struggles with the gratitude and are able to bring that into your perspective in a conversation with your manager or whatever, you'd be flabbergasted at the difference that conversation could look like.
Oh, right? No doubt. Yeah.
When you come with an attitude of gratitude, you know, to use your phrase, attitude of gratitude. I think it can make a drastic difference when you walk up to your manager and say, we really need to talk. Here's some things I've been really thankful for here. And I just really love that we do this. And this is a really, this is one of my favorite things about working here. Da, 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 da. But this is one thing that just really is a problem for me. You know?
Yeah.
And your manager's going to go, huh, yeah, I want to hear this, you know?
Sure.
Versus, you know, the way it usually goes, where we finally build up the courage to say something or do something, and it's just vomit, right? It's like, they feel like they just got puked up on, and they got to go clean off, you know? And there's not this idea of, like, I truly want to hear and empathize, you know? And not every manager is like that, or every spouse or whatever, and I think... But I do think that's an interesting idea to not just do gratitude in a general sense, which I also think is important.
Sure.
Because it's a practice, right?
Right.
But also use it as a weapon towards a specific situation to say, which I want to try this. This is an interesting idea for me. But like,
I like your terminology of weapon. How about a tool?
It's my spinach. I'm Popeye. Remember?
Yes. Okay. I got you. You're going to war. I hear you now. I'm following the theme. Yes.
Yeah.
But it can be a resource.
Yes.
Yes.
But I'm interested in seeing, you know, trying that and applying it to specific situations to.
Sure. And I think what it does is when we go in with that defensive frame of mind, it's going to elicit defensiveness.
You're right.
But when we can go in with a gratitude that says, hey, here's some things we're doing well. And yet there's also this aspect for improvement that I see. What are your thoughts on that? You know, because I'm willing to recognize there's some good stuff going on here. this isn't terrible. Nobody likes working here. You're terrible at this, you know, that kind of thing. That's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But yet when we can recognize, okay, and I'm not saying, here again, there's a fine line there. I'm not saying that gratitude becomes a form of manipulation either, you know.
Yeah.
But it needs to be genuine.
Right. The idea of gratitude is that it transforms you when you have the conversation. It doesn't transform, the conversation or the other person.
Exactly.
In an attempt to manipulate. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I also think, too, like, gratitude is very much a practice of focus, right?
Mm.
It's about what you look at. And
what you see, sure.
Yeah. And I think about, I don't know, for some reason this analogy came to mind when you were talking about gold miners, right? Like, panhandlers.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
And like there's a gold rush to California because they'd find these little glints of gold in the river, right? And
right.
get these pans and, you know, it's all about looking for that gold among, right,
yeah.
the rest. And I do think gratitude sometimes can be like that, where you got to get your pan out, you got to start looking, and you can get an eye for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you do, well, you can get rich.
I gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
Rich
yeah.
in gratitude.
Yes.
I don't know. It just made me think of that, like that idea of the focus. And I also think, too, the reverse focus can happen, right? Where we're focused on the negative, and that can be with that particular relationship, as you described, and is, you know, important to remember. It can be in a particular situation, if it's your job or whatever. Mm-hmm. It can also just be a negative outlook on life. And I read this quote, which I really like, by historian and author Howard Zinn, on the importance of what you choose to emphasize. He says, to be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we think the human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory. And that's from his book, You Can't Be Neutral on a Moving Train.
Yeah.
But man, I love that quote. And it's this idea that if you do your part and you stay, you know, have that attitude of gratitude and operate from it, you can make a significant impact on this world. And guess what? If you don't, at least your world is magnificently improved, right?
Yeah.
You're not required to live in the worst version of the world that you're in.
Yeah.
Like, we really do have that choice.
Right.
You know?
No, and I was thinking as you were sharing this, it reminds me of the, maybe I've shared it here before or with you even, but I guess it's a quote, the man in the arena.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that gratitude does give us the ability to go forward, you know, in that process. And we don't have to be so encumbered with what other people think. You follow me? Or because it is the person who tried valiantly and may have even failed, but still continues, and how much better that is than just being the person standing on the sidelines as a spectator complaining. You follow me?
Yeah.
I think those two kind of go hand in hand when I think about, you know, yeah, it's easy to be a spectator and just complain and say, well, if you'd done that, you know, I would have done this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet that person who is basically able to say, okay, yeah, I can go forward because I think gratitude maybe even is connected with my ability to have faith that things can work out for a good regardless of the circumstance. And at the end, what is it? You know, human history is not only cruelty, but compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. You know, and we can demonstrate that when others would just want to complain about the circumstance. Well, you can't do that. You know, you're going to always have poor people. So why bother even helping anyone? You know, I might as well just, you know, keep it. That kind of thing. You know, I'm not going to pay my taxes because I can do it better than the government. Well, maybe that's true too. But at the same time, there is benefits being, you know, given, that kind of thing. And
I think too, like, I wrote that quote down and specifically in thinking of in terms of watching the news, because for me, so much of news now is intentionally polarized and intentionally negative, because both of those things create a natural vacuum in you to like need more. Because if I know things are bad, I need to know what's next, right? I need to know what I'm looking for. And also, if I feel like I'm hearing, everything is bad on that side, but you're good because you're on the good side, then there's this, it feeds so many natural aspects of our longings, right? And it creates this addiction really to the news and a lot. I'm sure we know a lot of people like that, grandparents or whatever, who stay glued to the TV for, you know, 24/7 and it's on CNN or it's Fox News, whatever their brand is, right? Or their flavor.
The flavor.
And, flavor, you know, it just feeds that.
Yes, it
does. Those inner needs that they have. And I think we're much better served filling those needs with gratitude, right? And those outlets are not going to produce that.
And well, so they might do a, well, not even 5 minutes. They might do the, cause you know, talking with people, I always enjoy the last 3 minutes of the news. Cause at least there's a, they do try to spin it up with a, you know, one positive characteristic.
I can even hear their tone in my mind. And in other news. The polar bear.
Someone saved a whale. Someone saved a polar bear. You know, that kind of thing. But, and that, and that's a good thing too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being, but it's that very contrast that we're talking about of how much to how little. Depending on your viewpoint. And I think it is important, even, even in CR, you know, to recognize my hurts from the past, but also recognize, balance that with what good things happened to me. What, who did I have in my corner? Who did support me in the process? And it's not that, you know, everything was bad. That's the kind of thing that I, and I was, in that new, as you mentioned the news feed too, I'm mindful of how it, when that becomes so focused, it is the, it's difficult to find other areas of common ground because you hear the same talking point at time, to where at times you can tell where someone's coming from based on the talking points you hear. And I do value individuals and people who are, who when I talk with them, they, I hear that balance in them, you know, that basically, they're willing to acknowledge the talking point and yet they're willing to also go to the other side. In other words, you can hear CNN and Fox in both sides of their speech and their ability to say, okay, and this is another source that I went to, and this is what, you know, the Post said, and this is what the New York Times, you know, and being able to say, okay, this person is actually pursuing truth, you know, at a cost. It's, they're willing to invest. And I think, you know, when we're willing to go that extra mile to look for what is good, to look for, to recognize that, there's conflict, But even that has the ability to create intimacy and draw me closer to that individual when I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. And to try and, you know, kind of pull this back into gratitude too, I think there is an aspect of recognizing, I mean, kind of like this quote said, that when you are fed a certain piece of information from a certain source, it's not the full picture. Yes. And there can be hope in that, right?
Yes.
There can be hope in that, you know, yeah, they're saying this is happening, but at the same time, there's likely some intentional leaving out of certain parts.
Sure.
Which would make this feel a little less bad if I knew it. But they want you to act on this feeling bad or whatever, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The point is, there's reason to hope. There's reason to have gratitude that, okay, I know this isn't the full picture.
Yeah.
And again, I think, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with the news if you're able to consume it in a way that is able to keep that balance with gratitude. I'm just not sure how you can feed on a steady diet of it and maintain gratitude.
It's very difficult.
Because it's very much in their best interest financially to get you to stop thinking from gratitude and from positivity and think negatively, because that's what brings you back. And there's lots of science behind the way news works that kind of prove that.
Sure.
So while I have nothing against news, I don't watch it because I know what it does to me. It brings anxiety. It brings discouragement. Precisely. It brings so many things that are not healthy for me personally. And I know I'm a better fit in my world when I am not thinking from those perspectives of, I guess, dwelling on the negative.
Sure.
And gratitude is essentially the fighting back against that tide.
Yeah.
That's why I was using some of those, you know, fighting words or whatever. Because I do think it is a fight.
Sure.
Because it's an ongoing tide of negativity, whether it's coworkers, whether it's the news, whether it's politics, whether it's whatever the thing is, we have to do the work personally, because no one's going to do it for us.
Yeah.
To fight that back with gratitude, to say, yes, but, yes, but, you know, that may be true, but also this is true.
Yes.
That may be true, but also this is true. And if, you know, coming from a perspective of a believer, we have, we believe in a God that is supremely powerful and in control. And even when negative things are happening on our planet, I never worry that he's missing this piece. And I can come back to that and have gratitude that I know he's got the whole world in his hands. Right? Yeah. And that might be naive to some people. And I would say, maybe.
Okay.
Try it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Try naivety once. You might find out that you, again, are a better fit in your world. You have a little bit of naivete towards all the negative, all the bad, and just have some blind hope, you know? I think it's so easy to write that off as bad. And I would argue, maybe not. Maybe that's the better way. Maybe faith of a child, right? Is lauded. And the whole idea that having all this knowledge and knowing the ways of the world or whatever is going to keep you protected from it, it's just not accurate. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
There's a couple. I was thinking about it when you shared initially, when you shared, you know, how things lead to, you know, that focusing on the news leads to anxiety. And I would dare say, you know, what we experience, this isn't a political statement, but I think what we experienced with COVID, you know, this isolating, you know, everyone staying home, you know, and many people turning to, you know, news and government and, you know, news to find out what people were saying, you know, that kind of thing. I think, you know, it's no surprise that that led to a tremendous amount of anxiety, you know, culturally, you know, and that's, and so you know, when I look at, you know, politics and culture, we're able to see how some of these things just mesh together.
They go hand in hand.
They're connected. Yeah. Yes, they go hand in hand. And I was thinking about that, and I want to bring it back to that positive dynamic. It's, you know, the ability to engage with other people and to, you know, still have interaction, or the people that even in some ways chose to push the boundary, if I may say so, a little bit, tended to maintain a little more mental health dynamic because of that balance they were able to see. You know, yes, it's not that everyone is, if I may air quotes, everyone is going to die type thing. And yet, okay. Yeah. And I'm hurt. I'm mourning the loss of my friends, my personal loved ones. And yet, yeah, I want to be safer. And yet I can recognize that if I go too far towards this focus, then I'm not able to see any of the positive. Everything becomes darker at that point.
Yeah.
And I think what you share, you know, is a light. Our ability to have gratitude does become a light. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, even when, you know, and I guess that's where I'm at, is gratitude has the ability to shine a light in the darkness.
Yeah.
Where it just seems bleak, where it seems like I can hardly see my way. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to do. You know, gratitude becomes a light that helps me see through or in the darkness. And, you know, I think there's no, it's not an accident that, you know, from my perspective, Jesus compares himself, or God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, you know, and it is that ability. And even, you know, God himself says, you know, enter my courts with thanksgiving and praise, you know, negative people. I'm not saying God doesn't love them, but you know, it's like, that's not the way we enter God's
door.
Yes.
And if you aren't, there isn't a negativity door.
Yeah. It's not door number one and door number two.
I mean, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think if you complain to God, he certainly can hear you.
No, I agree. I agree.
Say that, but yeah.
But there's an aspect of entering his courts. There's a benefit, if I may, that basically says, okay, yes, there's a reason the model prayer starts with holy is the name, you know, that kind of thing, to where I'm thinking about things in a way that lifts God up, lifts other people up. You know, I think that's even can be a part of his kingdom on earth, when we're able to see what is good.
Mm-hmm.
And it, go ahead.
Well, you made me think of Elisha, where
Elijah came first.
Yeah, I just don't remember which one it was, but they're camped, and he has a servant with them.
Ah, yes.
All of a sudden, there's, you know, an army surrounding them, and they're supposed to take them back to the king, and it's not going to be good things for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the servant is just shaking in his boots, and Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Elisha. You were going to say Elijah.
I'm with you on Elisha. The servant's name began with an A.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the guy that, I know.
This is how we see it. Folks. Good luck finding
this. This is a little loosely interpreted, but, you know, it can generally be found in a specific area of the Old Testament.
No, the servant is just shaking, like, well, they're going to kill us. They're going to do bad things, whatever. And, you know, I think I just see Elisha kind of smiling, you know, knowingly smiling. It doesn't say that, but I just picture it, you know. And he says a prayer that says, hey, God, why don't you show him what I can see?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, he looks around the mountains and they're full of chariots and angels. And basically this idea that this little puny army in front of us is completely outnumbered all around us, you know.
Sure.
And so whatever's going to happen is fully in control, you know. And it's this idea of that story that I love is it didn't remove the truth in front of them.
Sure.
Right? The army was still there with bad intent.
Yep.
It just changed the perspective.
Sure.
Of where the control was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was so important for me during COVID. Because in some senses, you had to pay attention to the news in order to know when can I leave my house, in order to know when and where do we get vaccines if you're, you know, up for that or whatever. You know, just various things. You had to kind of be paying attention. You didn't you really didn't have to be glued to it. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
It was very slow moving, so you could find out pretty easy. But the point is, you had to have some sense of what was going on. And I do feel like there was some grace in my life to be able to remember that idea of like, this thing's worldwide, and yet he created the universe, and this world's pretty small, and he knows what's going on. And he's got this under control. And people will die. But I guarantee you, there's not a shadow of doubt in my mind that those people would die either way. Right? And so, and I know that he has the days planned for each of us. And that is, you know, how I see it. And being able to look out and go, yeah, there's a whole army of angels camped around us. That, and this thing's under control, was very important for me during those times when if it wasn't for that, it felt like things were completely out of control. And like, this is unprecedented, right?
Yeah.
Like, the whole world's on lockdown and we don't know if we can go outside. And does this thing carry on the wind? And it's like, all these questions. And yet for me, there was definitely a comfort and a gratitude in knowing that there was a higher power at work. You know what I mean?
Sure. There's a greater plan.
Yeah.
Than just what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you maintain that in other aspects outside of post COVID world? As I hear the, you know, phrase routinely, you know, how are you currently, you know, exhibiting or practicing gratitude for you personally?
Well, I thought you were going to specifically ask about that perspective
of
that being in control, which is to me distinct from gratitude, but not separate. Okay. But
feel free to do both.
Well, I was going to say, for me, events that are bigger than me, I'm much better at doing this. In other words, I wasn't fixing COVID.
Sure.
I mean, you might have been had a plan in your garage, but I gave up.
I
don't think I can fix this thing.
Yeah, I got you.
And so those kinds of events, you know, war in Ukraine and Russia, just like, you know, even who's going to be elected, I can put my vote in, right? But
yeah.
I'm not in control of that either, you know.
Sure.
All these things that I can very clearly see are way outside of my jurisdiction, right? Those things are much easier for me to go to see that his plan's bigger and trust it. When it comes to what part do I play, that's when it gets really hard for me because I know he's in control, but I also know I have a part to play, and it's hard for me sometimes to figure out what that is and to know what I'm supposed to do, and then worry about, like, did I do the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Do I need to course correct? You know, kind of that whole thing. So that's kind of a separate thing from what you asked. But I do think that's a distinct difference from some of those global things that are easier for me than, you know. And then, but as far as gratitude goes, I mean, I definitely journal.
Gotcha.
As often as I can. It used to be pretty daily, but I'd say it's more like a couple times a week kind of thing at this point. But for me, a big part of that is gratitude, is that refocusing on the good things in my life, but more specifically through the lens of his provision and what he's doing in my life. And even the negative, to see, I see that maybe you're doing this in me, you know, like you're breaking down this part of me that's not so good, or, you know, stuff like that.
You're creating discomfort at times.
Right. He is.
And yet I can still see that there's a benefit for me in that current discomfort.
Yeah. And back to what you were saying about writing things down or journaling or whatever, writing gratitude. For me, I've always pictured it as when you're writing, whether it's with a pen or paper or, you know, typing on a keyboard, if you're so inclined, because I know some people think better that way. It's all about channeling all the thoughts in our brain into a single point on a piece of paper or a single letter on the computer, right? Where it forces us to focus.
Sure.
And focus is really what we're talking about when we're talking about gratitude, right?
Yeah.
So it's an intentional focused practice.
Sure.
On gratitude, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
What about you?
Yeah, very much so.
Post-COVID.
Post-COVID. Gratitude yeah.
practices.
Post-COVID gravity. The journaling is definitely a part of it for me. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as it's just my own personal practice. You know, if I'm writing out, you know, my prayer or my journal in the morning, you know, I'm definitely focused that the first five sentences at least are going to be thanking God for something he's done for, you know, provision for family, you know, for circumstances, you know, those things. And to where I'm that, like you're saying, I'm mindful of the things that I have, the blessings I'm given before I just break into my, and by the way, I want that kind of thing. Because I think it transforms my perspective to be able to see the blessings that I do have already and the fact that I can be content right now versus being able to say, well, you know, I just can't live without, and I need you to do that. And would you, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's just a personal thing for me.
Can I put you on the spot?
Of course. Of course.
What's your distinction between contentment and gratitude? Is there one?
Is there a difference between contentment and gratitude? I believe that, yes, there is a difference, but I think it's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, gratitude has is the aspect of being grateful for what I do have currently. And I think that helps create contentment. When I'm able to recognize what I have right now is sufficient. You follow me? And I think in some ways that is counter to anxiety. Because when I am content, I'm not living in scarcity. And scarcity says, well, how do I get that? How do I get mine? Who's going to provide it? What do I need to know, you know, if the other shoe falls, you know? And I think in some ways that thinking is driven by scarcity. When I don't think I have enough of anything, any one thing or multiple things, and it's my responsibility to generate it. It's within my control to get what I need. I think that's what at the heart, I think in many ways that drives anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I have to know more information at that point.
So I think what I'm hearing, and I think kind of how I'm seeing it, is that contentment is essentially a scale or a balance, sure. A healthy equilibrium. And gratitude pushes down on this side of the scale. Anxiety pushes down on this side of the scale. And contentment is kind of that healthy balance in the middle where there's we're never going to get rid of the negative. Like, that's not possible until we're redeemed completely, right?
Right.
But at the same time, we have to balance that on this side of the scale with gratitude and recognition of good, right? And that creates that balance in the middle called
Contentment. Sure.
Does that seem, I don't know, just the way you described it made me think of that kind of picture.
I'm good with that, with contentment being a balance. Yes. And if I tend to focus on what I don't have, then it starts to shift a little bit. And anxiety tends to be created. But if I'm able to recognize all that I do have, you know, even in the midst of health circumstances or, you know, and I realize, you know, we're talking with people who are going through difficult things all the time, you know, cancer, loss of a spouse, you know, I'm just thinking of, you know, different people that I interact with who, you know, say, hey, you know, my daughter, you know, has cancer, or my daughter has leukemia and she's 4 years old. Those are the people that I realize we're talking to.
Yeah.
So, you know,
or even in abusive relationships.
Sure.
Or,
yeah. So I'm not, I just want to recognize that those people are in the back of my mind when I'm talking to this microphone type thing. You follow me?
Yeah.
To where, and I can, at times, I can see them demonstrating these same, you know, dynamics that we speak about, even in the midst of their circumstance.
Yeah.
And that's there again, I think that's where hope kind of lies, when I can recognize, okay, there is a purpose in this, and me tending to view the what is good and what is well seems to help versus just I have no control and I can't do anything. And granted, not that that isn't a healthy aspect too, but I can recognize that someone still has control and it's not all my responsibility because I think that is a isolating type thought.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, I think we're talking a little bit about when you're in those, you know, terrible places, there is a balance to that terrible that comes from gratitude, that comes from faith, that comes from hope, you know, that comes from all these things. I think interestingly, gratitude, you know, even on its own can say everything's bad except that, you know what I mean? And you don't even have to have hope. It's going to get better to have gratitude. Like you can't, they are distinct properties, right? Hope, faith.
Sure.
And gratitude to where you can say, things are bad, but that's good.
Yeah.
You know, and hope just balances to say, I hope it gets better. Faith balances to say, I trust there's a bigger purpose in this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you put all those things together and on top of the Holy Spirit interacting inside of our hearts and our lives. Mm-hmm. And it starts to make sense how people can make it through those situations and still have a good attitude or whatever. But yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for you, Mark.
And I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful.
Grateful.
For this opportunity
for this.
The opportunity to do it with you. Yes.
Microphone between us.
There you go. Yeah.
That's how I see it.
It's a microphone we share. It doesn't divide us. No, I'm just joking.
Sometimes. If we're polarized enough.
Yeah. We're going to have to work on that.
Yeah, I know.
We got to find a little more polarization. I was going to try and do it with politics when we pulled that out, but that was still pretty similar.
It was. Yeah.
I got another topic. I got some other topics.
All right, let's go.
But yeah.
Let's go. Let me get my spinach first.
Well, I think as far as this goes, this is how I see it.
Hey. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.